This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Now, Joy Drive family, if you're a bit squirmy, maybe turn the radio down just for a few minutes. But if you're like me, you're curious, and you want to know more, then stay with us, because today we're going to be talking about tapeworms.
Dr. Vincent Ho, the gut doctor on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Dr. Vincent Ho.
Oh, hi, Warren.
What's the longest tapeworm you've ever come across?
Well, look, I have not come across one that is this long,
okay.
But the ones that I've come across have only been a few meters in length. However,
a few meters,
the longest one, which is pretty long as it is, but the longest one that you can get is the beef tapeworm, and that can grow up to 25 meters in length, Warren. 25.
And so this 25 meter beef tapeworm presumably lives inside us. How? I mean, would you know it's there? I mean, that's long.
Well, it is pretty long, but you know, like, yes, you might get some symptoms. So look, often, I will say often you might not get any symptoms at all. Oh. But if you do get symptoms, they're often very vague. It could be vague abdominal discomfort. You might get the occasional loose bowel motions, and, you might get, a feeling of malaise. So you may not get much in the way of symptoms, but if you do, often the symptoms are quite mild with a beef tapeworm.
I mean, I don't want to make light of it, but the 25 meters, like, when you get it, do you sort of wind it out? You could knit a jumper with it. Like, how do you get it out?
It is long, though. Yes, yes. Well, it's really, really, really long, as you pointed out. And 25 meters is the longest that's been recorded in terms of a length of a beef tapeworm. And fortunately, what's interesting about these tapeworms is that the humans are the definitive host. In other words, that they like living in humans and reproducing in humans. So even though it's kind of a misnomer in some ways, we think that the beef tapeworm belongs in, you know, in cattle, but actually it's humans, and it has the cattle or beef as the intermediate host.
Ah, so does that mean we get it from eating beef or from cattle? How do we get
it? Look, that's absolutely right. So what actually happens is that they are what we call the intermediate host. Mm. So when, basically what happens here is that humans are the definitive host. And so when we can pass the eggs of these worms in our feces, and so they can survive for even months in the environment. And what happens is that, say with the beef tapeworm, cattle will eat, they will ingest vegetation that's contaminated with these eggs, and then what happens is that the eggs then mature, and in the intestine they actually migrate through the intestinal wall into the muscles of the cattle, and then they develop into this kind of funny cyst. And what happens is they can survive in the animal for years in that cystic form. And so what happens is that when we then eat an animal, which is let's say cattle, that's kind of raw or undercooked, then we get it.
And so cooking it kills it.
Cooking does. If we cook it thoroughly, yes, it does.
So when we order our steak, obviously if you say well done, I assume it's going to kill it. Let's say you say, you know, medium rare. Could it still be existing in something like that?
Yeah, look, potentially. I think the good news is, though, that this is very uncommon in Australia. So, you know, fortunately, the actual tapeworm itself in Australia is very, very uncommon. There's also a pork one as well, by the way. And the pork one is actually more concerning than the beef one, because even though the pork one, Warren, grows to a lesser length, so only about 7 meters rather than 25 meters. Right? Still long. But the danger here, though, with the pork one is that, you know how I mentioned about those cysts that can form in animals, and certainly with the beef tapeworm you can get that in their muscles. Well, the problem with the pork tapeworm is that you can actually get these cysts forming, actually. So when someone eats raw or undercooked pork, what can happen here is that it's certainly possible that the that the parasite itself what can form these cysts in your in muscles, but also the muscles, the human, but also in brain tissue as well.
Oh, really?
And so, which is really concerning. And so that's why the pork tapeworm is far more concerning than the beef one.
So
for that reason,
I was going to ask you: are they detrimental to our health, or do they have sort of some sort of symbiotic relationship with us? You know, we help each other out, but that's not the case. So, is the beef one, does it cause us as much harm or to our health as the pork one can?
No. So the beef one is certainly does not cause this what we call formation of these cysts. So the pork one does, and so you can get this condition called neurocysticosis, which can actually, as I said, you can get these lesions forming in different parts of the body, for example, in the eyes, even in the brain, and it's worrying. I mean, because when you get that, often for some people, it can mimic a brain tumor.
What do the tapeworms eat?
Yeah, so look, they survive in us. So right. The important thing that to bear in mind is that humans are the definitive host for certainly the beef and the pork tapeworm. Obviously, they're getting nutrients from us, but it's really, it's the eggs that these worms lay that actually can survive in the environment outside of us, and that's often how there is infection that can happen. So it's where animals, you know, as I said before, when they ingest that vegetation contaminated with human eggs, then they get infected, and you know, things can develop in those animals, like these cysts can develop in those animals, and then we eat them when they're raw or undercooked, and bang, it's a cycle that happens.
So what's the best way, apart from cooking meat, what's the best way to prevent them? My father, when I used to have a diesel ute, he'd say, oh, Warren, you need to run this engine cleaner through it once every so often, just to, you know, make sure it's all clean. Should we be like running a bottle of tapeworm killer through us every so often as a prevention? What do we need to do?
Well, it's a really good question, because people often talk about deworming, and you know, like that, the idea of deworming. Look, deworming has its benefits, but really is indicated in a very endemic area. So, fortunately, Australia is not one of those areas which is really endemic. Well, so we're very fortunate that we don't have this. In fact, this is much more common with people that come from overseas. Having said that, Warren, and you find this very interesting, there was one case that was reported a few years ago, about 4 years ago. There was a 25-year-old lady who lived in an outer metropolitan suburb of Melbourne. And she never travelled overseas. She lived with her parents and siblings. She worked as a barrister in a local cafe, and you know, didn't have contact with a lot of people. But then they investigated her because she had headaches, found a brain lesion, and it turns out that brain lesion was because of the because of the pork tapeworm. So that was really, really fascinating. So, you know, it just shows that even though you might not have direct contact with people coming from overseas, somehow you still can get, and it was thought in her case, somehow eggs she might have picked up from somewhere.
Should we consider deworming like once every few years or something like that? Or if we come back from a particular country that may have a prevalence of these worms?
Look, I think there is potential merit in that if you're suspicious that perhaps what you're eating overseas, let's say, wasn't cooked very well. You know, there's a possibility that perhaps you could have picked something up. And it's not just necessarily, you know, these sorts of parasites, but there could be other types of parasites as well that you could pick up from undercooked meat. So certainly if there's a concern, that, you know, that what you were eating overseas wasn't cooked properly. And especially if you start getting symptoms, you know, even if it's vague abdominal symptoms, you know, diarrhea, abdominal discomfort, then, you know, there's logic there. But I would suggest probably contacting your local doctor just to go through it all, because obviously they'll be the ones prescribing the anti-parasitic drug for you.
Vincent, I'm just thinking, your kids must love the stories that, I know obviously you can't talk about patients, but you can come home and you can say, hey, do you know what this little worm does? I mean, I would have been fascinated as a kid hearing about all these things that can live inside us.
Oh, absolutely. They are fascinated by that. And, you know, I've got lots of stories for them too. And, you know, particularly like, and you know, even, you know, what's really, really interesting, Warren, is that, you know, even there's even a dwarf tapeworm.
Believe it or not,
a dwarf one.
Is that like one metre?
No. It's actually it's only about 4 centimetres. Well, it doesn't go beyond 4 centimetres, but it's actually it is the most common tapeworm in Australia. It's particularly common up north. So up north, particularly particularly around the Northern Territory, it's found in some communities to be about 50% prevalent. So very, very common up there. And it generally causes sort of vague, you know, abdominal symptoms too, what I mentioned before, but it's particularly common. So you can get a baby or a dwarf tapeworm, which is more common in sort of rural and remote communities. But then you've got these other giant ones, which are huge, the ones I've mentioned before. And there's also a fish tapeworm, believe it or not, too, which grows to about 10 meters in length, so that you can get one like that as well. So this tapeworms are fascinating.
Let's say, is there any harm in taking a deworming tablet or the chocolate one, whatever it is that you take, or should we always see our GP before we take one? Because they're over the counter, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And when it comes to something like, say, pinworm, and I've talked about pinworm in the past, which is very common in young children, then yes, you know, I think if you've got an itchy child, then, you know, I think it's reasonable to take a course of an antiparasitic drug, which you can just get from a chemist. But something like this, where you're not sure, it's important to recognize that even these antiparasitic drugs, I mean, they're not completely, without risk as well. So, you know, I think it's always a good idea, particularly if you're starting, something like this, to at least discuss it with your GP, because they know your medical history quite well and they'll be able to tell you, yeah, look, I think this is a reasonable thing to try.
What do they look like? Like, should we be looking, you know, in the bowl? Once we've done our business, so that we can say, okay, is there any tapeworm there?
Yeah, this is where it's really, really fascinating. So yes, you can get a very, very long stringy worm that comes out of you. It's certainly possible. But more commonly, you actually get, and this is actually something that I should point out, you actually get little segments of the worm coming out called proglottids. So each of these worms, for example, like the beef tapeworm, they're full of segments. They'll have about 1,000 to 2,000 different segments. We call them proglottids. And these segments are about the size of a grain of rice, and they look a lot like it too as well.
Okay.
So they're full of these segments, and the segments come out, and that's what's interesting. So the segments will come out, and those segments are actually full of eggs. You know, that's what happens. Right. Like, you get a segment coming out, and you get these little, almost little grains of rice that you can see in your stool sometimes, and you go, wow.
So it may not be undigested rice. It could be one of these 25-meter worms.
Parts of it, yes, shedding off.
Vincent, it is a serious topic. Well, I mean, I am laughing, but it is a serious topic. And, of course, we encourage you to seek proper medical advice if you are concerned. Vincent, great to chat with you. We'll talk to you next month.
Okay, great.
Thank you. That's the gut doctor, Dr. Vincent Ho, clinical academic gastroenterologist and senior lecturer at the University of Western Sydney. You can check out his socials or his website at gutdoctor.com.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.